All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
I think it's going to be an interesting week.
Oh, my gosh,
because
yeah.
We didn't even really start the show yet, and you're already, like, questioning me. Like, David asked me, are you ready? And I said, yeah. And then he looked at me like, really? Are you, though?
Are you, though?
So usually we're like a solid minute or two into the show before David starts questioning me. And now, like, we can't even get started, and he's already doubting me.
Come on. I'm just getting my pre-doubt prepared.
That's good. Why wait till we're in the thick of it, right?
Yeah. So what, were we 500 or 5 or 50? What week into this are we?
Look, it's like, yeah, I have no clue.
Yeah.
We were selling popcorn at both theaters now, or two of the theaters, Lititz and Ephrata. And I was selling popcorn, and we sold out at the Ephrata theater, and I was telling somebody, we're going to do it again on the 21st, because that's my dad's birthday. But the truth is, I thought April 21st was like a few weeks down the road. I thought, like, you know, it'll give us a good, like, you know, couple weeks until we get there. And then, I mean, David, I don't want to shock you, but I pulled up my calendar.
It's like Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Like this Tuesday. It was the most stunning, like, took my breath away. I looked at the calendar, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
very disturbing news for me.
I ordered some stuff online the last couple of days, and it was like not going to be here till May like 5th or whatever. I'm like, oh, that's like over a month away. Oh wait, no, it's not that bad.
That's next week.
Yeah, yeah. So how's the popcorn thing going? Still over the top, positive.
Popcorn thing is super fun, and a big shout out to Mike Hinton and all my friends from I think it's the 501st.
Yeah.
Yeah, coming out, and they came out dressed up in their, I don't know what you call them. They're better than costumes. To call them costumes is like an insult, I think, because these guys look sharp. Like, I'm sitting there slinging popcorn, and all of a sudden I got a stormtrooper, and what's the deal with the black C-3PO? What is he going, triple zeros or something?
Oh, yeah, he's the evil C-3PO. He's,
That's pretty dope.
I'll look it up. I'll look his name up. He's like a Sith assassin.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll find it. Oh, yeah, 000. And he has a little droid friend called BT-1.
Well, they look pretty badass rolling through the old Penn Cinema popcorn pickup. It was pretty
awesome.
Cool. I appreciated them coming out.
Very cool.
The popcorn pickup's going good, and even little Ephrata. Ephrata is, we don't have the support in place or the resources or whatever to do it quite as thoroughly as Lititz does. But in Ephrata, we have one thing you can get. You don't get to choose. You don't get to pick your candy, whatever. You get one size popcorn, one candy, $20, and that's going pretty well. So it's a lot of fun at both theaters. It's really great to, like, connect with not connecting. I'm not, like, we're not engaging in, like, discussions or, you know, sort of catching up on old times or anything, but just to see people and just to have a smile and a wave and move on has been really kind of fun. And I think it's been fun for us, and I think it's been fun for the customers as well. I will say, I'm pretty tired by the end of the day, because that's 9 hours on your feet popping popcorn, and then it's couple hours on your feet selling the popcorn or delivering the popcorn. And so it makes for a really long day. Like I'm used to working long days, but if we're completely honest, a lot of my days are at my desk, or I'm standing up for a little while and then I'm sitting down, or I'm running over here, but then I'm sitting down. But, you know, 10 hours straight on your feet, like on concrete, working, selling popcorn, that's a long day. I'm just saying it. I might be a little soft, but it's a long day for me.
Come on, softy.
Yeah, tough guy. All right, well, let's get into the news.
Okay, hit me with what you... Drive-ins. Everyone's talking about drive-ins these days. I think I saw you post a little pic of some projection on the side of the building.
Yeah, and when you say you,
yeah,
what you really mean is Drew.
Drew. Yeah, yeah. The Penn Cinema official page.
Yeah, Drew went a little rogue this week.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
We're sitting in the living room watching TV, and then all of a sudden, one of the girls, I think it was Marley, was like, What's the deal with this drive-in at Penn Cinema? And I was like, I don't know nothing about no drive-ins. I've been spending all week telling people we're not doing drive-ins. But Drew is, to his credit, we chatted about it. And, you know, we're just experimenting around. It's really way early to, like, say we're doing a drive-in because we have way more questions than answers. But at the same time, the longer this thing drags on, the more ideas, you know, and creativity we're going to need to explore. And so I can report this morning that we have solved the technical logistics of how would we show a movie on the side of the building. So now we have to move on to the operational logistics in terms of, like, how would that work? You know, so on the one hand, it's really easy. Everybody says, like, first of all, time out. Everybody and your brother.
Hold on. Whoa.
Stop emailing me headlines from other theaters that have open drive-in. I know. I know people are doing it. I know it's a huge success. I know. You're the first person that has saw this headline and thought, hey, I should make sure that Penn knows about this. Even my mom wrote me, dear old Grandma Robin wrote, you know, hey, honey, you probably already know about this, but did you know a place that they're doing drive-ins? All right, Mom, give me a break. I know all about it. So with that being said, so here's, like, at first glance, it makes total sense. It should be super easy. We run the movie, cars drive up, you sit in your car. All right, my first question is, what happens when your kid has to go to the bathroom? Right? So we're all sitting there watching the drive-in, happily distancing in our cars. Okay, so your kid has to go to the bathroom. So Penn opens up a porta potty, puts a couple porta potties at the drive-in. Now what happens when two kids have to go at the same time? You know, and now we have three kids. Now we have kids that are, like, hanging out, because we all know that, like, little kids sometimes get bored during movies. And they come out to the lobby, and they fool around with the water fountain, you know, and stuff like that. And, like, so what are we going to do? Like, are we going to police this? Are we going to have, like, are we going to put little – I guess we could put, like, little pieces of tape on the ground so that everybody waiting in line for the porta potty stands 6 feet apart. Like, and that's fine. And maybe that is what we'll end up doing. What I would like to do is do something like this where – we can do it at a time when we are allowed to have our lobby open, because then what we could do is we could have it set up. We could have actual restrooms, actual concessions. You can buy some popcorn. You can buy some soda, whatever. So yes, we are considering doing the drive-in, but this reminds me of – remember the first thing, I think it was you, but it was also, there was a couple listeners who also wanted to call me out right away to remind me of how I said I would never open an IMAX. Right?
Yep.
And I'm sure it was just a few short weeks ago that I was here going, I would never do a drive-in. Well, I don't have anything to announce, but I'll just say, yes, we're kicking it around. We're looking at it. We're talking about it. And certainly the one thing that's clear is the longer this drags out, the more likely it is that we'll do some sort of a drive-in on the side of the building. Mm. Yes.
Mm. Well, speaking of it driving out, I see a note here that theaters are considered part of phase one when that finally starts to get going. What's that?
Yeah, so are you're not aware of, like, the phases?
Oh, I am, but I'm asking facetiously for the audience.
Yeah, so it came out, it was kind of interesting, like the government, and you know, it's the feds, but Pennsylvania is coordinating with New York, New Jersey, and some of the other guys, other states. And I'm pleased to see that cinemas will be included in phase one. So when they do start sort of opening, what that means is it's not just, hey, your doors are open, it's business as usual, but it's more like, if you take strict precautions like we did right before we closed, so in other words, selling out every other seat, you know, and that kind of stuff, taking precautions. So I could foresee, for example, you know, even limiting showtimes so that, like, I always try to have showtimes be at least 5 minutes apart. So the big movie starts at 7 p.m. and then the next movie is 7:05, right? So I could even see us doing stuff like having 15 minutes between every show so that, you know, an audience of 30 people or 50 people or whatever the number is, might be 25 people. So an audience comes in, gets their concessions, is gone in to see the movie. We wipe down the counter, disinfect everything, go through all the doors, and then the next audience starts coming in, you know, after we get it clean. So I think that's what it means, is that we would be allowed in phase one to open under strict precautionary measures, and then in phase two, what they're calling moderate precautionary measures. But I'm just happy because I was worried that the government would not recognize the value that movie theaters play in not only the economy, but more importantly, in our social life, you know, that, you know, people enjoy the community of coming together to see a movie. And I was relieved to see that cinemas were specifically listed in phase one. So as soon as this does loosen up, which I don't know when it's going to be, but we'll be right there. And you can assume that Penn Cinema will be eager to comply with all the strict precautions and open up in a safe way. And the first time that I read about this was in the article about AMC borrowing $500 million, which keeps them afloat till November, which I think is an interesting date, because November, I think, is the first... We talked last week, the first movie when we open back up will be Tenet, Christopher Nolan's thriller. That's July 17th, I think, or something like that, late July. But I think November will be the first time, I think it'll be, by the time we get to November, I'm not saying business as usual, but pretty close to it. You know, pretty close to like full theaters, normal theaters, you know, showing big movies. And so AMC, I think, is looking at it the same way I am, which is like they did what they need to do to stay in business till November. And I think that's going to be the story for most movie theaters. So if like you're listening to this and you go somewhere besides Penn Cinema, your question is going to be, if they can keep their doors open till November, then it looks like that theater will survive. So like, mm-hmm. for example, we already saw Movietown close. They made the decision that they're not going to keep their door. They can't make it till November. And I think there will be other theaters to make that announcement as well. But AMC is saying, okay, this is what we needed to do, $500 million to stay open till November. So that's what I think that sort of story is all about.
Huh. Interesting. So what have we been seeing kind of like, this is obviously a lead-in question, but what are we seeing like the studios getting ready for these new dates and stuff? Like new posters, new promotional material?
Yeah, it's interesting. I wanted to talk about that. We got a batch of posters the other day from Paramount, which was the SpongeBob movie, Quiet Place 2, and Top Gun. And the headline of the email that I got was new digital assets. That's what they call posters and marketing materials. It said new digital assets available from Paramount. So I clicked on it and opened it up, and all three posters for all three titles were identical to the old posters, except for the fact that they had the revised dates. So the Top Gun poster was the exact same Top Gun poster, except it said December 23rd. So it raises the question, and I'm not saying, I'm not a marketing guy, I'm not one to judge, but like, are there opportunities to like sort of acknowledge the fact, you know, that there was, you know, historic pandemic, you know, that shut us down for 6 months or, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I thought it was interesting. It was almost like, you know, that story about the dog that didn't bark.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not interesting that he barked. It's interesting that he didn't bark. I think it's interesting that nothing has changed from their marketing. And I wonder if there's opportunities to I wonder if we will see any, like, when they start releasing trailers and when they start, you know, really making the push to come back, I wonder if we will see some marketing efforts towards, you know, or not towards, but marketing efforts that acknowledge what we've all been through together. It'll be interesting. I also wonder, like, for people who collect posters, I got to figure that all these like, I have a building full of posters that say, you know, for example, Wonder Woman, June, whatever date that was, 14th or 7th or something. And Drew and I have commented, the hallway at Penn Cinema looks like it's so bizarre. Like, walking down that hallway is so strange because it's a mix of posters and banners from movies that were either already open or about to open, and they all have the wrong dates, and every single poster in the hallway, every single title in the hallway, I originally said I felt like I was walking through a graveyard, but Drew hit the nail on the head. He said it just looked like the whole theater was like frozen in time. It was like a weird, it just has a surreal sort of look to it.
Wow. So
I think, you know, are there poster collectors that, like, are those posters going to be of extra value, or maybe not, but maybe it's just an interesting, like, side note.
No, I bet they will be. Given some time, and it'll be like, oh, this is the one that, notice the date on this? Like, you'll give it enough time for, like, you know, the kids to forget that this happened.
Right.
And hit that nostalgic phase where they're like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty crazy. So, cool.
Anyway, so that's what's going on sort of behind the scenes, the business end of the exhibition industry, as we call it.
Right. Well, not quite on those same lines, but similarly, San Diego Comic-Con 2020 has been canceled. This might not be a big surprise. You might be thinking, well, that's comics. Why are you bringing it up? San Diego Comic-Con is a huge outlet for movie promotion anymore.
Yeah.
Pop culture promotion. So the fact that
that's supposed to be
here, I think it's in like May usually.
Okay.
I forget when it is. It would have been coming up really soon here. So
the big thing with a lot of events similar to Comic-Con is the question of, you reported that it's canceled, and it's like some events are getting canceled outright and some events are getting postponed to the fall. If I had an event that I was passionate about, I would want it to be canceled, because if it gets rescheduled to September, October, you still don't really 100% know that you're going to be allowed, you know, that it's going to be allowed to happen.
Right.
That's an emotional journey you're going to have to be on for a few more months.
Right. Right. No, I agree. I think canceling is the better. Some like, of these things have gone digital. Like, I know, Gamescom and stuff, or the GCD or whatever. Some of the gaming conventions have gone digital.
And the con, is it Cannes or Con Film Festival?
I think it's Cannes. I think.
Whatever. The Canes.
Yeah, the Canes.
I can just call it Canes so that I know I'm wrong.
don't even give a chance of getting it right.
Right. They're going all digital. And at first I was like, oh, that's super cool, because now I can see it and I don't have to travel. But then I was kind of like, I don't know. A lot of those, I just don't know enough. It's going to be an interesting I'm gonna try to sort of participate. I'm gonna try to watch titles where I can, if that's a thing. I don't even know if that's a thing.
They're streaming them.
It seems pretty cool.
Yeah, interesting. Also, looking at the future here, Universal Studios has announced plans for a Green Hornet movie. Everyone was just chomping at the bit. We're like, when's that next Green Hornet movie coming?
Thank God there's a Green Hornet movie on the horizon.
What studio would be brash enough to take on this amazing property?
What's the history of Green Hornet? What have we done so far?
Well, we had the original show with Bruce Lee and whoever else, I can't remember.
Okay.
Then we had probably another movie, I don't know. But the last movie that was made was with Jet Li and Seth Green.
Seth Green?
Seth
Rogan.
Rogan.
Seth Rogan.
Yeah.
And that one kind of sucked if a little bit, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it wasn't too nifty spiffy. I just see. I never liked the Green Hornet. Like, I don't think I ever got it because it was like almost Batman, but not quite. You know, like there wasn't really anything super. I don't know. It just never really appealed to me. I just didn't get it. Podcast at pensima.com if you think I'm stupid.
But, I was literally leaning forward in my seat so that I could say podcast at pensima.com. Talk us into it. Why yeah. should we give a shit about Universal's plans for a Green Hornet movie? And also, David, while we're on it, that's the headline. Do we have any other news about it? Is there a star in mind? Is Seth Rogen coming back? Or what's...
No, this was just that they announced that they're going to be working on it. That was it. Super preemptive. You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds what? Like people at Universal is like, no one's talking about us. Quick, right. What do we got? What do we right. got? We could do a Green Hornet movie. Sure, maybe. Put it out there. We're talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of studios, I saw a headline that my instinct was to not care.
Okay.
But the more I thought about it, and I did read the whole article, and it is interesting. So we've talked in the past about this studio called STX Entertainment.
Right.
My guy from STX is named Ryan. Shout out to Ryan. He's one of my favorites. He's super cool to deal with. These movies are kind of hit and miss, and honestly, I have skipped a few STX titles when I didn't think it would be like a perfect fit for the audience. But STX has, to my surprise, I feel like I said they're hit and miss, and they are, but I feel like their batting average is getting better and better with each passing year, and they're getting a little more reliable. Their modus of operandi, their MO, if you will.
What? Pinkies out!
Pinkies out! Their MO, and they were 100% upfront about this. They're not trying to make Oscar movies. They're not trying to make fancy movies. They're not trying even to make tent poles, but they take average blockbuster movies that star a bankable actor or actress. Or
okay.
actor, I guess, is a unisex word. But STX makes movies. They put in one or two stars, A-list actors. They pay them a modest sum, and they spend a modest amount on their titles. And then, you know, they hope to make $20 million on that opening weekend, or $30 million if it's a good movie. Some of their movies make $15 million, and that's fine, too. And STX got off the start with Penn Cinema on Rocky basis because they tried to open a little bit of a shitty – this was years ago before Ryan and when they first opened. They tried to open up this little shitty movie on Thanksgiving weekend, and I passed on it. And the guy called me and was screaming at me, and I was telling him I'm not going to open a $5 million movie on Thanksgiving. I'm not going to use up a whole screen. I forget what other movie was coming out, but let's say it was Harry Potter. I'm not going to give up an extra screen of Harry Potter so that I can play your little shitty movie. And I'll never forget this. He was yelling at me that what happened was I told the film rep that whoever decides to open this dumb movie on Thanksgiving was an idiot. Well, he told his boss that, who turns out that was the idiot. And his boss wanted to make sure that I knew all they had to do was make $6 million movie, $6 million opening weekend, and it would be a success. And from his point of view, he's totally right. But what he failed to account for, and the guy is no longer there, but what he failed to account for was the fact that theater owners, like that might be a win for them in the old days, but for a theater owner to spend a screen on a movie that's only going to get a handful of people at each show on Thanksgiving weekend, that's an incredible waste of resources. So STX has grown a lot since they first opened. And so the headline that all of this is building up to is, first of all, the background that I'm trying to tell you is that STX opened like shit, has consistently gotten better and better. And they're not like a massive, I don't think anybody would compare them to Warner Brothers or God forbid Disney, but they do get better and better. And the headline that I'm reporting today is that STX Entertainment has agreed to a merger with India's Bollywood movie major Eros International to form combined film and television. I think this is really interesting because I think that STX might start bringing more Bollywood to mainstream movie theaters. And also they might sort of get more cash and more infused. And I just see this as a positive step for STX. And I think it's something that we in the exhibition industry, we need to pay attention to and take seriously. I wouldn't be surprised if a year from now we're talking about STX, or even maybe it's 2 years or maybe it's 3 years, but at some point in the future, we're talking about STX being a major studio.
Interesting. I think that's cool. That reminded me of, what was that Bollywood movie that we reviewed earlier or last year?
Yeah, I forget, but I remember it, we did.
I want to watch that again. That movie was so insane. So I'm all for more of that, like, coming out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just think this is an interesting move. It's something to pay attention to.
Last bit of news here.
Speaking of Sam Raimi.
Yeah, speaking of Sam Raimi Salami, he confirms he's directing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Now, this had been rumors for some time, but he confirmed it. He's in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. I'm on board. Sam Raimi, to me, is a guy who does wacky, and he does colors really well. Yeah. Like, to me, he's kind of like the antithesis of Tim Burton, who does darks really well in film. Sam Raimi does bright, like, flashiness.
Yeah.
So I'm fully on board with this. I just hope that, I don't know how to say this. I want him to be able to do what, to be within the constraints that Marvel has that keeps their movies being good, while also able to make the movie that he wants, because we all remember Spider-Man 3.
Do we remember Spider-Man 3?
And when he didn't get what he wanted, he just gave up and let that crap come out. After two good movies, like, the studio really applied, and he was just like, whatever, and just let it happen. So, yeah, I hope he's able to do it the way he wants. So
that'd be cool. I thought you were saying something different. I mean, I agree with you, but I guess I'm also hopeful that he can do what he wants, but also Marvel can do what they want.
Right.
Like, I hope they work together, because Marvel has a pretty freaking good track record.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I want him to stay, like, I want him to make the movie that he wants while also realizing the constraints that he, not constraints, but like the guidelines that he's in.
Okay, let's put it like this. I don't want him to realize the guidelines. I want him to recognize and embrace.
Ooh, bingo bongo.
The Marvel magic.
Yeah, I like that.
You know, you are a brilliant director. You're a brilliant genius storyteller. Wonderful. Everything's great about you, but so is Marvel.
Right.
You know, embrace them and work together, and this could be a special movie.
Yeah.
Love it. I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it could be great. So moving on to trailers. I'm assuming you didn't see this one. I popped it in here last minute. I've been pretty open that I don't care about Artemis Fowl.
But really?
What? But they put out a new trailer just a day or two ago. And now that it's going to be going straight to streaming, they finally put out a semi-decent trailer.
When does it come out on Disney Plus?
June something.
All right.
And I was like, you know, if they would have opened with this trailer, I might not have been poo-pooing all over it. But instead...
Nah, you probably would have.
No, you're right. You're right. But anyway, the newer trailer looks a lot more interesting. Interesting enough that I was like, maybe I'll watch that. Give me a reason to use my Disney Plus. So
I'll definitely watch it.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'm excited or whatever, but I feel like... I mean... I know we're going to get to it later in the show, but shout out to our listeners who have been providing me with great movie ideas. But still, I do feel a little bit like I really, like, I'm excited for a new movie. Like, Jesus Lord, can we just get a new movie out, you know? So I feel like I'll watch Artemis Fowl with the same enthusiasm that all these kids lined up to watch Onward and Trolls and, you know, stuff like that.
Nice.
All and right. If it makes me a hypocrite, so be it. But, you know, I don't really have a choice. I'm in quarantine.
See, that's how they get you. This is all organized by Disney for Artemis Fowl.
Well, I would tend to agree, except for the incredible damage that this pandemic is doing to Disney.
True. Very true. Very true. Now, I see you left on here the link for the George Lucas director cut. Did you get around to watching that?
I did. And we didn't post it to our Facebook page, did we?
No, we should, though.
All right, I'll do that right now. I just left that on there as a movie review because I did watch George Lucas's director cut that we talked about last week for The Force Awakens. And I just have to say, I LOL the whole way through. I felt a little bit, what's the word, like elitist, because I feel like if you took the average person off the street and showed them the director's cut trailer, they wouldn't get it.
Right. Yeah.
You know? So you have to be a little bit of a Star Wars snob to see the humor and trash and make fun of George Lucas. But I have to say, he's been such a dick throughout the entire, you know, through the entirety of the Star Wars franchise. So difficult to deal with. I really enjoyed having a good laugh at his expense. I took great comfort in that.
I just love when there's like a couple TIE fighters and it's like they're flying through a swarm of them all of a sudden.
Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so our real movie review this week is for Motorcycle Diaries. You want to start us off on that?
Okay, Motorcycle Diaries is one of my all-time favorite movies. Stars some guys I can't remember. It's in Spanish or Portuguese.
Right.
I don't know. Spanish?
I don't know. Is there a difference? That's pretty ignorant of me to say, but
I think there is.
Okay.
They're different.
It's either Spanish or Portuguese.
Okay. Yeah. Based in Argentina. So...
Right.
It's about – now, you didn't – did I tell you who this was about before you watched it?
No, but I figured – you did not.
Okay.
But I figured it out, or I started to have an idea, and then I cheated and pulled it up on Wikipedia because I just had to know. Because it's not – like, it's not super clear.
Right. That's one of the things that struck me.
You start thinking it is, but then you're like, is it really?
Yeah. So it's about two guys that are in the medical profession. One's a biologist and the other is a semester away from getting his doctorate in medical school. And they decide they're going to take however long and travel America, South America, down south through Argentina, then up through Chile and Peru and ending in Venezuela. And it's the story of them doing that on a motorcycle and kind of basically how it changes them gradually.
Dramatically.
Well, yeah, but dramatically. And specifically one guy who winds up being Che Guevara. So it's based on the diaries that they kept during this journey they call them the Motorcycle Diaries. And it kind of shows how Che Guevara kind of met the people and gained a heart for them and kind of he changed from just wanting to be a doctor to like wanting to stand up for these people. And slowly as the movie goes on, like he starts standing up more for people and really embracing like those in need, whether it's need of a job, need of healthcare or just someone to be with them or something like that. Like it's a really touching story about like that, a different type of coming of age, kind of changing thing. There's the quote in the movie is, "Let the world change you, and you can change the world." Yeah, deep stuff. And one of the things I love is at the end of the movie, the guy, like his friend, it ends with like the actor was standing watching a plane take off at the airport that they split ways before Che went on to become who he was. And then it flips back and it's the actual guy who was on the journey with him, standing there now old at the airport watching a plane take off. I thought, you know, it's pretty cool statement. So
I thought it was an incredible movie. I can easily understand why it would be one of your all-time favorites. I think last week you said it was your favorite, period. I loved this movie. And what I think I loved most about it was when you realize who the guy goes on to become, it's remarkable how honestly he came to be a revolutionary.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He really just set out for an adventure. You know, he set out for to know the land and know the continent or whatever, and he set out for an adventure with his best friend. And it's incredibly touching that throughout the entire epic journey, which I think was 7 or 8 months or whatever, but it was a real, like, serious adventure. And throughout the entire ordeal, not only does he keep this diary, but he's also writing letters back to mom. It's easy to think of somebody like Che, if you don't know the story, as just sort of being this wild, crazy, you know, you sort of assume that they're a little bit off their rocker, you know, and it's easy to caricature somebody for that. But, you know, appreciating how honestly he came to believe what he could believe, and also to see how strong his moral compass was long before – even before he, like, opened up his eyes about the injustices and the inequality in the world, but even just how, like, very early in the movie, his best friend says to him, your problem is you're too honest, and, you know, you can't ever lie, even when you're trying to get us, you know, some food, or we're begging for scraps or whatever. You know, and so that strong moral compass would go on to serve him, you know, as he would become, you know, the leader that he became. It's remarkable. I thought it was and also I will say it was a beautiful movie.
Oh, you know, yeah. Just
beautifully shot, makes you want to go out on an adventure and see some mountains and hike in the snow and buy a motorcycle and, you know, all that shit. I thought it was really great. It was an inspiring movie.
Yeah, it really is. And it's just so beautiful. And one of the great parts of it is they just let some of those scenes sit and let you sink it in. There's not a lot going on. Maybe they're just driving or whatever, but it just sinks in and you're just like, dang, those mountains are insane.
Yeah.
You know? It's a wonderful movie. It had been some time since I had watched it, and still retains its spot for me, for sure.
Executive producer Robert Redford.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which I think is interesting because I didn't know either of the – I thought it was the same type of movie. What movie did we watch a few weeks ago when we were still open? And you and I said, oh, it was the World War One movie where it's all in one shot.
1917.
And you and I both agreed that movie would have been ruined if the two guys were like A-list actors.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If it was somebody you knew, if it was Ryan Gosling or, you know, something like that, it would have taken away from the movie. And I would say the same thing about this movie. The two actors were incredibly talented. You liked them and loved them right from the opening, you know, scenes. And yet, if they were somebody famous, it would have totally taken away from the movie. I never heard of the actors. I never heard of the director. I did take a little note, and I thought it was just interesting. It sort of shows, I mean, we all know Robert Redford has great taste in movies, and I don't know what his role was in getting the movie made or contributing to the final product, but it was a beautiful, beautiful movie, and I wasn't the least bit surprised to see his name come up in the credits at the end.
Yeah.
Cool. What's your position on motorcycles? You ever ride a motorcycle?
Not really. It sums it up pretty good. There's a photo of me. My family is really big into motorcycles. Really, really.
Oh, really?
There's a photo of me circa, I don't know, 4 or less, where they try and stick me on one, and I am just crying. It's not even moving, and I am just freaking out. That about sums up my – I mean, I've ridden dirt bikes, I guess, but not well and not for long. But it's just not me.
Yeah, me neither.
I was a big bicycler when I was younger, but
Yeah, I love my bike. I ride my bike all the time, as you know. I have two stories where I was on a motorcycle. One was when I was a young kid, older than four, but I wasn't probably maybe 12, and I wasn't on a motorcycle. I was on a moped. We went to visit my cousins. It was a very rare trip to visit my cousins up in New England, I think Rhode Island, and they had a moped, and we were all taking turns riding it around the block. And I rode it around the block, and I was coming back to the house and hit a patch of gravel, you know, wiped out completely on the side, you know, the moped goes flying off. I got brush burn all up my side. I'm crying and bleeding and miserable. So that was my first experience on a I know it's not a motorcycle. I know it's just a moped, but it was my first experience on anything like it. And then the second time was much more successful. There was a big, massive Harley Davidson. You remember the movie Wild Hogs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when that came out at Penn Cinema in Lititz, we had a partnership with a local Harley Davidson dealer, and they parked three Harleys in the lobby. And me and my sister-in-law, Becky, sat on one, and somebody took our picture in the lobby, and that was it. So those are my two motorcycle stories.
Somehow you didn't crash that one.
Yeah, I didn't crash that one. It was much more successful. Made a great picture, and me and Becky still continue to have good laughs about that to this day. But it's funny because I have no desire to get into motorcycles, but watching this movie, like, it's so romanticized, like, oh, that'd be so, like, the trip that they took was just beyond epic, and it's just really cool.
I feel that style of motorcycle, too, is very different than today's. Like, I would be more apt to sit on that motorcycle than I would be any of the modern stuff.
Right. And so a listener can get a good view. If you remember any World War II movie ever where you saw a soldier riding somewhere on a motorcycle in a World War II movie, that's what the motorcycle in this movie looked like.
Yeah, thin and long and lower and a lot less dangerous looking.
Yeah. All right. So Motorcycle Diaries came out in 2004. I highly recommend it. If you haven't already seen it, do yourself a favor. It's not – I was able to watch it in the morning while the rest of the house was asleep, which I think is the perfect way to watch it. Like, really, like, it's not the kind of movie that you want to have, like, a lot of stuff going on. Like, watch it when you can commit to watching it. Put your phone away and soak it all in, because it's a beautiful movie that deserves your full attention.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. I watched it this morning, too. It was perfect time. I was thinking about doing it last night, and I was like, no, I want to be fully awake for this.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, let's move on to listener notes, questions, suggestions, answers.
We got some doozies this week.
Yeah, man. all right. Look, Austin the Rock writes in. He's got some questions about Dune pronunciation. We're just going to hit this straight up. First off, he wanted to suggest a movie called The Other Guys on Netflix, starring Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
So they just found it, says it's really good, we should check it out. But he also asked if the new Indiana Jones Indiana Jones 5 is the new Avatar. Is it ever going to come out?
I think he raises a really, really good point. Like, I feel like the two of those movies, I think that'd be a really interesting bet. Like, which one comes out first?
What if they come out to? What if they, Indiana Jones and Avatar 2 are the same movie?
That would make me so. Oh, if they're the same movie.
Yeah, they cross over.
I thought you were going to say, what if they come out on the same weekend? Oh, that would make me so happy. But here's the thing. I mean, just, is it possible that neither one of these movies ever comes out?
Yeah.
I would change the word possible and say probable.
Right. Right. I don't see Indiana Jones 5 ever happening.
I agree. I mean, the only way Indiana Jones 5 happens, in my opinion, is if they go, and I'm repeating myself a little bit, but since we're on the topic, is if they go the route of Creed. You know, they need... Yeah. You know, they need a new adventurer who touches base with Indiana Jones. You know, maybe they find him at a cafe in Paris where he's researching some scholarly article on something, you know, or
the Holy Grail.
Yeah, you know, and and he can be a wise old man in the plot, but I'm going to be more committed now than I was a few weeks ago, the last time we talked about this, and I'm going to go on record and say I am now against Indiana Jones 5.
Oh, wow.
And that comes as, I mean, I think I talked before. It's one of, I'm a huge fan. I mean, that's an understatement. But I don't want to see it. I don't want to see an old Harrison Ford, and I really don't want to see him. What did we call that? Where they made everybody younger in Irishman?
De-aging.
De-aging. I don't want to see Harrison Ford de-aged, trying to run around and be Indiana Jones. I just don't want it.
Yeah. Well, then he gets on. He's got something to throw in your face.
In my face.
Yeah. He says, "I bought and started reading Dune. I'm about 200 pages in so far, and I really like it."
Show off. Who's he trying to impress?
Apparently not you.
Kudos to you, my friend.
Yeah. He says, "Some of the names, though, I'm not sure about if I'm pronouncing them properly or not. Would you be able to announce them on the podcast?" So I, of course, am here for you in your time of need. We have Arrakis.
I smell trickery.
What? No, but I'm going to give it to him because it was too perfect. I got Arrakis, Muad'Dib, Yui, The Last Jedi, and Bene Gesserit.
Wait, what?
What?
What's that one?
What did he sneak in there?
What's the name of the movie that came out right before The Last Jedi?
The Force Awakens?
Ah, yeah, right, that one.
That one's not so bad. The Last Jedi. Anyway.
I want to give some legit shout-out to my man Austin the Rock, because I didn't pick up on that. Like, we read that email, and David and I had a really good laugh, and it was a really great email, and it was a lot of fun. And then David said, "I see what he did there." I said, what do you mean? Like, I didn't catch it. He threw The Last Jedi right in there with all these weird Dune names. That's great.
He also finally asked what we thought of the casting choices and the pictures released for House Atreides, which is the good guys, quote unquote, for Dune. We talked a little bit about last week. I think it looks great. I think the casting's great. The only one that really worries me is Jason Momoa, but that's only because I know where the story goes, and I just worry that he won't be around for it all if they keep making the movies.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest Jason Momoa fan.
He can do some good stuff. He was in Stargate Atlantis.
I'm not saying he's bad. I don't really have anything against him. I'm just saying I'm not his number one fan. But speaking of can I just take a little sidebar here?
Yeah.
Did we talk about the headline that Mark Ruffalo said he would do a standalone Hulk movie?
Mark Ruffalo?
Mark Ruffalo?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, Mark Ruffalo said that he would be game, and that, in fact, he's hopeful that he could get a standalone Hulk movie, which I have to say, based on his greatness, I really think he's a talented actor. I would 100% sign up to support that movie, to see that movie. Right? Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, totally. You know why they haven't done it, right?
No.
Universal owns the rights to the Hulk.
Oh.
And they loan him out for any movie where he is not, like, there's a rights issue there.
I hate that shit. I hate that.
As long as he's not the main,
right,
like, thing, like, they can use him. But if he's the main thing, then Universal has to produce the movie.
So Marvel can't make a Hulk movie.
Well, I don't want to never say never. I mean, right. They've done so much now, and Universal continues to make money off of him without really having to do anything.
Right.
They might just be at the point where they're like, keep going, you know.
Okay.
I don't think Universal's going to be dumb like Sony.
Right. Okay.
So hit me with something.
All right. Well, I got a nice email that was specifically addressed to me.
Oh.
And it was from my co-host, David. Hey, girl.
Oh, my gosh.
And David wrote me, I just thought our listeners, we alluded to this email, but I wanted our listeners to appreciate the incredible amount of shit that my co-host gives me. And how it's not, him torturing me is not limited to podcasts.
What?
So he sent me this email, and I'm going to read it verbatim. Hi, Penn. I'm going to not only read it verbatim, but I'm also going to give you, for no extra charge, a dramatic reading.
Oh, my gosh. Everyone prepare.
David, are you sitting down?
Hold on.
All right. Hey, Penn. In these trying times, I just wanted to bring you up to speed on how we, here at the Penn Cinema Podcast, are still producing content. Because remember, we're all in this together. Wipe the tear away, wipe the tear away. With the world facing these unprecedented times, we are now offering the podcast with free delivery.
I'm breathless. Speechless.
As you mentioned last week, I never replied to that email. And how could I? I was lost. I was sobbing.
What could you even say, right?
I was way too emotional to reply to that email.
Like, put that on a plaque and make the memorial now.
All right, walk us through Joel Coates' funny email.
All right. Well, first off, Joel just wanted to commiserate on small apartments I had mentioned last week and how difficult it is to mix play and work. When you're at home, you're trying to not think about all you want to do to play. And when you're time to play, you can just think about work. Because you're in the same room, like he and I both share our living room and our office space. It'd be different, he mentions, if we had office rooms that we could go to and kind of just segregate. He also wanted to make an interesting point about M. Night Shyamalan. Seems like he says he seems like. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
Who?
He says seems like he peaked mostly because his early stuff was just so groundbreaking, but eventually became familiar. And he also wanted to plug that he hasn't been back to that real genius since the Servant series on Apple TV Plus.
I just thought it was a really interesting comment because we were talking last week. We couldn't quite put our fingers on. I didn't want to just come right out and bash him, but I did feel like, I think I made the analogy like maybe an athlete who peaks early. But I think Joel Coates really points out a critical detail, which is that his early film was so unique and so different. Right. That we sort of, I don't want to say we got used to it or we took it for granted, but it was less impactful because his early work was so groundbreaking. You know, once you break ground, you can't, you know, it's broken. You know, it's you can't unring a bell. So I thought that was a pretty interesting insight, and it certainly, for me, settles my mind about where M. Night stands. Like, okay, he's genius, he's brilliant, and that's the kind of movies he makes. And, you know, it was incredibly special to see The Sixth Sense and some of his early work. But, you know, we need to start looking at his current films with, you know, sort of through a different filter. Did you ever watch A Servant? I never watched it.
No, I don't have Apple TV Plus because okay. I think I do.
I'm gonna check it out.
I'm not you or Joel, so I'm not one of the two people who have it.
Lucky for you, bucko.
He also had some movies to recommend. He said The Banker, The Core, Baby Driver, and Swiss Army Man. I have seen none of these. Have you seen any?
I did. Baby Driver is amazing. Baby Driver came out the same year as Atomic Blonde, and they were among my top three for whatever year that was. And Baby Driver and Atomic Blonde, I thought were going to be massive movies, and they didn't have the commercial appeal, although they are developing into sort of, I don't want to say cult classics, but people recognize them for being incredible, for being great action movies. Baby Driver has one of the best soundtracks ever in a movie.
Yeah, that's how I know Baby Driver, for the music.
Yeah. Yeah. So Baby Driver was great. I love it. And Swiss Army Man, I also watched, who's the dude, Daniel Radcliffe, stars. This is a weird movie. Swiss Army Man is a really, really weird movie.
Is that the one where, like, he's dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can vouch for both of those movies. If you haven't seen them, they're good, and I recommend them. And the fact that those two are on his list makes me feel like I want to go watch The Banker and The Core.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so we got another email here from Curtis Zimmerman. Why don't you tell us what this is all about?
Well, Mr. Zim, I was wondering if it was Bob Dylan, if he's related to Bob Dylan, but I don't think he is. But Curtis thanks us for watching Short Term 12, and then he goes on to recommend About Time, which I feel like, David, you would especially enjoy About Time, given your struggles with, the boundaries of time.
Whoa, struggles. I do fine with time travel. What I don't do fine with is you talking about time travel.
Listen, just because you are limited by the bounds of this artificial time and space continuum, you know, that may or may not actually have existed back when we were recording the podcast, then, you know.
Oh, so long ago.
Right. I remember when you saw About Time and you loved it. It was next week.
I actually have really wanted to see this movie, but I keep forgetting about it because it's Rachel McAdams, right? No.
Yes, all kidding aside, I love this movie. I've seen it a number of times. It's a romantic love story type of movie, but it's so good and so well acted and so well done. And actually, it's not at all, like, predictable. It's not a sort of routine, you know, type of thing.
It's the one where General Hux's family, the men can go in closets and then come out at a different time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's good. You like that? Yeah. All right.
That poor guy. He's trying to have a life. He's trying to make other movies and be his own person. And for the rest of time, you're going to be calling him General Hux.
Even though he made several decent movies before Star Wars.
And after, but
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think that's fair. I think he's made enough money that he can live with that tag. He'll be all right. And Curtis also put out a request. And I feel like we did this at our year-end episode when we were at Zootropolis. He wants us to talk about our top 10 all-time movies. Where do you land on that?
So we did our top 10 for the year last year. But this is our all-time list.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm prepared to make that kind of commitment.
You don't think you could do it? See, I like this idea, but I feel like we should get our top 10 movies, but only the top three have to be in actual rated order.
Okay.
You want to give that a shot?
I'll give that a shot.
Because they definitely fluctuate for me, you know, depending on my mood or sometimes even just what I've seen recently. But usually my top three kind of stay the same.
Yeah.
All the time.
What's number two behind Motorcycle Diaries? 25th Hour?
25th Hour.
Yeah, I want to watch that. I haven't watched that. I've never even heard of that.
It's an Edward Norton film.
And
he has 24 hours before he goes to jail for dealing drugs. And so he's got 24 hours till he has to check in, and it just follows him and interacting with his friends, and basically, like, him kind of like, oh, my life is over, and his friends be like, no, it's fine, we'll come see you and everything. But then behind the scenes, they're all like, he's dead to us after this. Like,
right.
Like, once he leaves, like, it's over. Like, we never see him again. So,
interesting.
Yeah. It has a young girl who played Rogue in it. What's her name?
I don't know.
The girl who played
Rogue?
Yeah, Rogue. Yeah. In X-Men.
Rogue. I have no clue.
You don't know who played it? Was she was big for like a little while. She's got like the cracked teeth look. I'm looking it up. You know what? That's the great thing about being in front of a computer instead of sitting there Her name is Anna Paquin.
Oh, yeah. She was big for a while there.
Yeah.
She's cool. I like her.
Yeah. So,
so I just had to tell you real quick because you said about looking up on a computer. I had a guy call in the other day, wanted to buy a popcorn.
How dare
you? I told him, that's great. You just go to Fandango and you look up the next available popcorn is on Tuesday, April 21st. You pick what time you want to pick it up and you buy a ticket and you come pick it up. Easy peasy. And he goes, oh, well, I don't really know how to use the computers. And I said, oh, it's just like buying a movie ticket, that's all. And he goes, oh, I've never bought a movie ticket online. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. And I said, you know what, if you just email me your name and what you want, I'll set an order aside and, you know, we'll make a special exception for you. And he goes, okay, that sounds great. Now, how do you do this email? I was like, never mind, dude. Just tell me your name now, and I'll write it down and keep an order ready for you. But he goes, oh, no, I don't know if I'm ready to commit to buying an order yet, so I'll have to get back to you. And he was like, I'll call you back if I decide I want to do this. And what I said to him was like, great, okay, cool, call me back. But what I'm thinking to myself is, he happened to call the theater during the 15 minutes when I was in the building for the first time in 5 weeks. Go ahead and call me back, and good luck getting somebody to answer the phone.
Oh, man.
All right, Dave, what are you watching?
Okay. So I got kind of back into TV and stuff this week. I started up watching Parks and Rec. Are you a fan?
Oh, huge fan. We love Parks and Rec.
Yeah. It has been ages. I haven't really watched it since it was on TV, and I loved it then. I watched several seasons of it, like every week. I'm just really loving the show again, just getting back into it. I think I'm somewhere in the second season already, and I'm just loving it. I also, I've been reading the Scott Pilgrim books.
Oh, reading them? Okay.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty similar, but there's about six volumes of the books. They're graphic novels, and a friend of mine gave them to me in the last year, and so I'm finally have time to dig into them, and I'm enjoying them. Good art, some stuff that's not in the movies, so that's pretty cool. And I've been playing Animal Crossing, and judge me all you want, because I'm judging myself for doing it, but yep, I'm chiming in every day. Play a good 15, 20 minutes at least of this stupid life game. But, yeah. All right, so what have you been doing?
Well, first of all, we need to comment.
Yeah.
The show notes, it says, it lists what are we watching and reading, and then it has David's list and Penn's list. And under David's list, it says Parks and Rec, Scott Pilgrim, and then it says, more Animal Crossing, comma, what is my life? So I feel like you're not being completely honest with us. Are you playing Animal Crossing like 16 hours a day?
No.
Is that what's really going on?
No, but at least an hour, maybe more. It depends. I always sit down, I'm like, all right, I just got to do my daily things. And then an hour goes by, and maybe two. And then maybe later in the evening, I'm like, man, I should play a game. I should play anything. And I'm just like, all right, I'm going to try this new game. Somehow Animal Crossing's already loaded up. So next thing you know, there's another hour of my time. And I'm not doing anything. I'm just collecting wood and building houses.
Hey, man, you're doing your thing. Good for you.
I got a house loan to pay off, okay?
Yeah.
I added a room to my house, and I built a bridge. That's a lot of money.
I know, man. You got grown-up stuff to deal with.
Come on.
I feel like we all have something in our lives right now at this particular moment in time. We all have something that is our own Animal Crossing.
Right. Right.
You know, like, just, we used to call them, remember we used to call stuff like this time bandits?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like just a total time bandit. You check in with it, and the next thing you know, an hour and a half went by, and you're not, it's not even like, oh, that was really fun. Like, I just loved that last hour and a half. It wasn't that awesome. It was more like, holy shit, I'm still doing this?
Yeah. And outside of quarantine, I don't think I would be giving this game much of my time at all. It's the type of time sink I'm only doing because I have no other options. So.
Right. Yeah. All right. So my family is still working through Reba.
Nice.
Which I have to say, I'm completely loving it. I mean, of course, it's not new, but it's just been a lot of fun. I also hosted a themed dinner last night. Amy and I, well, mostly Amy. Amy has been having like family dinners with different themes, like an around the world dinner or a Broadway dinner. Had some other dinners. So I had one Grateful Dead themed, and we all took turns drawing Steal Your Faces, so that was really fun. Also watched a movie called The Way Back.
Oh, yeah.
Remember The Way Back? It recently came out, or there was one that recently came out, I think it was with Harrison Ford a few weeks ago. It was like one of the last movies we played before we closed. But there was another movie in 2010. It came out with Ed Harris, Colin Farrell, and there was a real small role for Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse.
Anyway, this movie is called The Way Back from 2010. It's based on a true story, and I highly recommend it. It's one of those incredible, epic adventure movies about these guys who escaped from a prison camp during, I forget if it's World War I or World War II, but they escape from a prison camp, and they have to literally hike the whole way from Siberia to India. It's an incredible story, a beautiful movie, very similar to Motorcycle Diaries in the sense that the movie lets stuff happen. Like, you know, it lets it sees them hiking or walking, and sometimes there's a few minutes with no dialogue. They're just hiking, and you see the massive mountains in the background, and it sort of conveys the enormity of their trek.
Wow.
So then on the other end of the spectrum, we all watched, are you ready? Grease 2.
Whoa.
This is easily one of the cheesiest movies ever made. But it was nice. It was, you know, kind of like cotton candy. It was, you know, goes down easy. And
is it a continuation of the story?
Yeah, sort of.
Same character.
A lot of, like, John Travolta's not in it, but Michelle Pfeiffer is. You know, it's fine. If you loved the first Grease and you haven't watched Grease 2 in a while, or if you've never watched Grease 2, like, it's enjoyable. It's a fun, you know, hour and a half, but it's not, you know.
What do you think of the theories that she died in the first one? And that half of it is like her accepting her death, and then when they fly off in the car at the end, is her going to the afterlife?
No.
You never heard those rumors?
I did, but I never bought them. I always thought they were like crazy conspiracy theories.
Penn, listen to my dissertation on why.
Yeah. Ever hear Steven Spielberg's interview about Jaws?
No, I don't think so.
He was talking about all the things that Jaws represents, the shark, that the shark represents, and all the things that the ocean represents, and, you know, it could represent your unconscious, or it could represent your ego, or it could represent evil forces, or the yin and the yang, and all these kind of things. And he's having this interview with this incredibly scholarly person who's, you know, discussing all the images and symbolism and mythology from the movie Jaws. And he sort of entertains the conversation, and then he goes on to say, or it could just be a really big shark.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about Grease. Like, you know, it could be her embracing her death and flying off to her afterlife, you know, or it could just be a movie about a bunch of teenagers.
Very true. Very true. All right. So what are we doing next week? We're going to do our top 10 list.
Oh, are we really? Are we committing to that? All right.
All right. It's something to do. So right. I'll tell you what, we do our top 10 list, and then you come with a movie you watched, and I'll come with a movie I watch.
All right.
They don't have to be done. Have to be the same one. But our main thing will be top 10 list.
Oh man, that's a lot of pressure. I'm stressed out. I can't relax. I'm gonna have to go start on that right now. Are we don't have to have watched them. We're not watching them before next week,
no,
right?
No. Just put them on a list.
Okay. All right. I can do. Oh God. I don't know. Can I do? Oh, David. Can I do this? I can do this.
Probably not. If you mess up, game over.
What?
I don't know. Just ambiguous threat. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. Of course, if you want to get a hold of us, you can do that by emailing podcast@penncinema.com. Check out the pandemic.com to get your popcorn and candy and stuff like that if you're in the area. And
listening to this on Sunday night or Monday night or even Tuesday morning, although it'll probably be sold out by Tuesday morning. The next available, the Pandemic is sold out until May 1st. If you need popcorn right away, go to Fandango and look up the New Main in Ephrata, and they still have some bags available for pickup on Tuesday afternoon, April 21st. We picked that day because it's my dad's birthday, so shout out to the old man. Happy birthday.
Holla, happy birthday.
Holla.
So, great. And so if you want to help support the show, number one way you can do that, tell a friend. Share it on Facebook, share it wherever you share, Instagram, whatever. Just get us out there. Tell people to check us out. That's a huge help. So once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Bolton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care
and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Great.
That was awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cat.